You are now about to begin the great adventure, the journey out of your mind.
Back up in your act with the resurrection.
It's the Bat Rat Podcast. Yo, what's happening, folks? My name's Loki, and you're listening to the Bat Rat Podcast. This is our first episode. Thanks for joining us, huh? If you don't know, let me break it down for you a little bit. We're a band from Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're kind of like a rap rock kind of deal. If you like 311, Rage Against the Machine, that kind of thing, we sound like that. Except we don't sound like anybody. We sound like bat wings for lab rats. So check us out. We're on the Facebook. Just search Bat Wings for Lab Rats, all spelt normal and whatnot. Bat Wings is two words, and so is Lab Rats. Sometimes people like to spell our name like Betwings for Labrats, and that's just confusing. It's all individual words. Our band name has five words in it, Bat Wings for Lab Rats. And this is the Bat Rat Podcast, and thanks for all you Bat Rats for checking us out. What we're going to be doing on this show every week is we're going to be playing music by our friends and people we like, and we'll be talking about news stories and that kind of thing. It's going to be pretty wide open, whatever the fuck I feel like doing each week, so that's the deal. Here in a couple weeks, we're going to have a single for you guys. We've got a new album coming out. It's going to be called Tuning Antennas. It'll be out early next year. But what we're going to do is on this show, every couple weeks, we're going to have a new song from that album, and we'll play it and talk about what it's about and whatnot. So that'll be the deal. New music from Batwings for Lab Rats on the Bat Rat Podcast. So I'm hoping that'll be as exciting for everyone out there as it is for me, because I can't fucking wait to release our new songs. I'm so fucking pumped. It's been a long time coming. It's a long story. I don't want to get into it right now. But yeah, we've been working on this album for fucking over a year now, and we're ready to fucking unleash this shit on you. It's going to be great. I'm very excited. If you're in the Albuquerque area, you can come check us out live. We're playing at the Chill Factory. Let me look up the info real quick here for you and let you know where that shit is going to be. The Jingle Jam and Holiday Helpout, featuring Batwings for Lab Rats, American Slang, Bandwidth No Name, Stem Ivory, Just Lazarus, Good Green, and Element 37. So that's a freaking killer lineup. You gotta come out. It's going to be at the Chill Factory, which is a place we've never been before. It sounds cool. I'm told there will be kegs on tap. And my computer's being slow, so I can't get the goddamn address for you to let you know. Sweet Jesus. While I'm waiting for this to load, I can let you know that this is Buckethead playing behind me. If you like this music, go check out Buckethead. He's fucking awesome. Wears a bucket on his head. And I think he wears a Michael Myers mask from Halloween, which, fun fact, that's actually William Shatner's face. So, yeah, impress your friends with that shit. Alright, The Chill Factory, Saturday, December 14th. 312 Rosemont Northeast, one block north of Mountain off Broadway. So that's Saturday, December 14th at the Chill Factory, 312 Rosemont Northeast. $10 at the door, $5 if you bring a donation. And a donation is two food items or a clothing donation. And you can bring more than that, that's the minimum. This is a Furious Styles event, so big up to Nick, our good friend Nick Furious of Bandwidth No Name. You can also hear him right here on the Our Community Project Network. He's on the Monday Morning Medicine with Kung Fu Kenobi every week. And he's also got the Rips and Raps, the Whistle and Diction Show, which is a podcast that I helped start with him. And I'm not on it anymore, but it's still really awesome, so check that out. But my main bullet point of this presentation is come check us out live at the Chill Factory, Saturday, December 14th. And we'll have more details next week and let you know if there's any changes to this. But for right now, I want to play some Batwings for Lab Rats. I think what we're going to do is feature a band or an artist each week. And usually it'll probably be somebody local here in Albuquerque. This week, since it's our first episode, I'm going to go with us. So I'm going to play some songs by us and tell you a little bit about them. And let's start it off. This first song's called Babylon Fire. We'll see you on the other side.
There are 100,000 total marijuana smokers in the U.S., and most are Negroes, Hispanics, Filipinos, and entertainers. Their satanic music, jazz, and swing results from marijuana use. This marijuana causes white women to seek sexual relations with Negroes, entertainers, and any others.
Dropping love bombs, slap away drones with stony peace songs. We are but stronger than this. Hold on a little longer to this. Love, this love is all there is. Love, this love is all there is. Cause the universe is not just, it's balanced. Kick the burst to rise to the challenge. Kicks and snares dissipate and disappear. So kick the chorus right now. wait at least until the wounds are healed. When the love's revealed, when the layers peel, concealed, strain, heartache, knuckle scrape, break down. What's it gonna take to wake up this hero? Bound, gag order, sort of drowning. Don't doubt, doggy pad on my way back. Love, this love is all there is. Love, this love is all there is. Cause the universe is not just as balanced. Kick the brush to rise to the challenge. Kicks and snares dissipate and disappear. So kick the chorus right now, right here.
Babylon Fire by Batwings for Lab Rats. Well, that song's about a few things. With all the shit I write, it's not really, like, explicitly about anything, which I guess is sort of a cop-out. And I know it sounds douchey as fuck to say it out loud, but the meanings of the lyrics don't usually actually reveal themselves until later. Like, I'll be at a show saying them just on autopilot, and it'll be like I'm hearing them for the first time, and I don't know how to describe that without sounding like a self-important douchebag, but hey, maybe that's what I am, so fuck it, right? Babylon Fire, it's just about bringing the fire from inside the heart and burning down the bullshit whore of Babylon, which is what all art should be about, really. It's kind of a mission statement. It references some drug use, you know, the lighter, you're flicking your Bic, applying the Babylon fire to the problem, if you will. But it's not necessarily just about that. It's just about getting your mind right, you know, getting your heart in the right place, doing the right thing, which is probably something I should do more in life in general, but fuck it, right? Sometimes I feel like when I'm listening to my own shit, it's like, that's not me. I don't know who the fuck that is. I wish I was that good of a person, that wherever those lyrics came from. But, I don't know, it ends up being like a manual, like a note to self on how I should be acting. So, that was Babylon Fire. That's from our first album, called Punkopedelic. We've got two albums out. Play something from the second one. I guess the second one was actually an EP, Make It Red. Let's play kind of in the same vein. The song's called Mission Translation, and it's just about, you know, the mission of translating that inner feeling into something outer that other people can understand and bring into their own being and discuss. And yeah, so Mission Translation by Batwings for Lab Rats, and I'll be back on the other side to talk about some more bullshit with you. Peace out.
I don't give a shit how heavy it is.
Damn, I haven't heard that shit in a minute. I like that song. We actually don't play much from our first two albums anymore. We've been working on our third one for so long. And we actually had a member change between the last album and this new one we're working on. Rob Nakai, who is awesome, used to be in the band, but he's not anymore. We parted ways. But he's still the homie. I got no bad feelings for him. Maybe at some point I may have, but that was my own problem, so, you know, you learn shit as you go. Mission Translation, shut the fuck up, receive the transmission, Mission Translation. It's kind of just about opening your consciousness to let something go through it, rather than trying to be in control all the time of everything you're thinking and doing. You got to achieve a good balance of control and submitting to the flow and whatnot, you know, but it's just about how can I get my being, my mind and my soul and my body in the best possible position to translate what's inside to the outside for somebody else to ponder. So it's just a song about making art, what it means to make art. I come back to a lot of the same themes, I guess, a lot of the times in writing. It's just how it goes, I guess. But when I start writing something, I usually am not like, okay, I'm now going to write a song about so-and-so. It's usually just kind of stream of consciousness, and it takes on a meaning as I write it. Maybe I'll write one verse, do it a few times, read through it, and then writing the second verse, I'll kind of have an idea. And sometimes the first verse that's written isn't the first verse that happens in the song and whatever, but yeah, hopefully y'all are enjoying the podcast. Bat Rap Podcast, episode 1, giving you a little insight into how we do things. I want to have Rob on at some point, as a guest. He's doing his own musical shit that's sounding pretty good. I heard some stuff he was doing with Sean Smock, who is producing our new album over at Fire Hydrant Records. It's a cool cat, does shit out of his basement, and it's sounding fucking killer. I can't wait for you people to hear it. I know I said that already, but I'm just so excited. If you come out to the Chill Factory December 14th, you'll hear a bunch of new songs from our new album, so hope to see you there. If you're not in Albuquerque, keep tuning into the podcast, and you'll hear the shit soon enough. And we will have our new album, Tuning Antennas, for you to hear. It'll be out very soon, so keep your ears peeled. What the fuck do I want to play next? Let me look here. Let me see what I got here. We go back, Let's play the title track from our second EP, Make It Red, from the Make It Red EP. This song kind of had a dual meaning. It kind of started out as Rob's thing, and I kind of added my piece to it. He's coming at it kind of more from the political angle, you know, waving the red flag, being a filthy goddamn communist. which I'm sort of coming from that angle too, but I'm a little more middle of the road politically than Rob, although I can appreciate a lot of the sentiments and ideas behind the socialist communist kind of shit. But my take on Make It Red was just painting with passion, the red strokes, you know what I'm saying? So it was kind of the amalgamation of the two different ideas of what Make It Red might mean. And, I don't know, let's check out the song and we'll see what y'all think, and I'll see you in a few minutes. Peace out.
Scraping me off the ground, now grind up my
pigment paint me infinite as the stars. Behind red and white bars, as blue as my heart can get stamped and locked down. Eyes that look down, mouths whisper gossip. Vodka looks just like the dream should. The wood where I would carve your heart is the paper as blank as my yard. Blank is my yard. Blank is my yard. Blank is my yard. Timeless, undressed, life is a hailstorm. Unborn, unlived, unloved. Demon is calling the angels. Bluff on my shoulder, war on, going forever better. Dig a hole high there, awake against no wind. We should be soaring, so high, so high. Y'all rise, scan the ground for crumbs. Stone balls, I walk now, beat down, drug out. Existence exhausted, we had it, we lost it. 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 Stand on the edge, nothing is better than right here, right now. Whatever, sever the past, open up, throw it back. Train off the track, no time to react, no time to relax. Double flat on our backs, staring at the sunrise. Folding red eyes, I must have died a thousand times last night. And this death rehearsal, this dirt will wash away. Earth will wash away, wash away, wash away.
Now for another installment of Hey Man, can I ask you something?
Hey man, can I ask you something?
Yeah man, of course.
Well, it's kind of weird, but like if I died tomorrow and it was in my will that I wanted you to eat my cock and balls, would you do it?
You want me to eat your cock and balls?
Yeah.
When you die, I have to eat your cock and balls.
You don't have to, but I'd like you to.
But, okay, when, I don't get it.
Okay, well, like, say I was in, like, an accident, and not all of my scrotum and penis were ground off, sliding in the asphalt, and there's, like, a little bit left. You can make, like, a hamburger patty or something out of it. However you want to cook it, and you don't even have to eat my whole cock and balls. You can get anyone to cook it up whichever way you like. You can take it to IHOP, have them fried up in the kitchen, whatever you want to do.
I can fricassee it. I can put it in a blender and make a smoothie.
I mean, you could. I don't know if that would, but if you'd like, yeah, that's an option.
I can sushi it. I can...
Yeah, if you want to eat it raw, right when I keel over, you could run over to me, pull my pants off, and start gnawing on my cock and balls. That would be totally fine.
So, I can do it any way that I want, and basically you're telling me all I need to do is sample it. I don't need
right.
to eat the entirety of your cock and balls.
No, I would just like you to get a good taste, nice, healthy chew of both the cock and the balls, really savor them. I don't want you to, like, grind it up, put it in a capsule, and just swallow it right away. Like, I want you to get the full experience.
Okay, so, I mean, I guess I gotta say, if you went to the trouble of putting it in your will and stipulating in this will that I wanted to, you just wanted me to taste your cock and balls, I gotta say, I'd do it for you, man.
Fuck I'd yeah. I appreciate that. I really do. That's cool.
Yeah, of course, man.
Yeah, that's
cool. You're my best friend, but I gotta say, I mean, is this going both ways?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, if you're going to write this in your will that I have to eat your cock and balls, I mean, you better believe that, like, we're doing tit for tat here. You're going to taste some of my cock and balls.
No. I'm a vegetarian, actually. I'm not doing that. I'm just kidding, dude. Don't get that fucking look off your face. It's just a joke. Of course I need your cock and balls.
You had me going there for a second.
Yeah,
man.
Dude, I would eat the shit out of your cock and balls if you died. Come on.
I appreciate
that. Who do you think
you're
talking to?
I appreciate that. Well, I mean, it makes me feel so good. I think I'm just going to off myself right here and now.
Whoa. Hey, really? I don't think you should do that. I mean...
Well, wouldn't it be perfect? I mean, like, we both have it in our... Wills, you're gonna eat my cock and balls right now.
Yeah, and I totally would, don't get me wrong, but I don't want you to kill yourself. You're my best friend. And if you're dead, who's gonna eat my cock and balls when I die? You know what I'm saying?
I got you. Well, yeah. What if I...
Back, that presents a problem. One of us is gonna die first. How are we gonna deal with this?
Well, what if I cut off my cock and balls and... freeze it, and you could have it, like, for your last meal.
Oh, like, beyond the grave.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're willing to live... Wait, how is this working? You gotta explain it better. I'm not following you.
Well, if I freeze my cock and balls, then, like, after... Well, okay.
So you're gonna eat my cock and balls right now? Who's gonna... This isn't making sense to me. Some sort of beyond the grave reciprocal cock feeding. I'm not following it. I'm not buying it.
I think that the only solution is some sort of, like, cock eating suicide pact.
Right. That's kind of what the conclusion I'm coming to as well. It's just I'm trying to think about the practicality of it. How exactly would we go about doing it, you think? You have any ideas in that regard?
Maybe each of us has the other's cock in hand and we... You know, at the same time, harikiri the penis and force feed it to the other person.
Okay. That's kind of weird, though. That's kind of like the wedding cake feeding kind of...
Tangled arms. And, yeah.
Intertwined lovers thing. I don't know if I want this to have that kind of vibe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's also going to take a while to, like... bleed out from the cock.
And I don't know how well I'm going to be able to concentrate on eating your gross cock while I'm feeling the pain and shame of bleeding out from the what used to be my dick, you know?
Yeah.
Shit. What about this? We'd 69 each other to death.
We eat each other's cock and balls to death.
Eat each other's cock and balls to death. We'll either die from choking on the cock and balls or from bleeding out. It's a win-win.
I'm with you.
You want to do it right now?
Here we go.
Fucking A.
1, 2, 3.
This has been... Hey, man, can I ask you something?
The context, let me tell you, the context is mighty clear. June 22 is the date of this email. Boy, that Timberwolf was one shitty deal. How much of that shitty deal did you sell to your clients after June 22, 2007?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the answer to that, but the price would have reflected levels that they wanted to invest.
Oh, of course. But they don't know what to do. You didn't tell them you thought it was a shitty deal.
That was Bat Wings for Lab Rats. That's my band. And that was our song called Privatized Survival. And I haven't heard that in a minute either. I'm playing all the throwback shit that we don't play anymore. I fucking love that song. It goes hard. Yeah, it's the shit. I really like it. Privatized Survival. Just the idea that the powers that be are staying the powers that be. The fucking rich get richer, you know what I'm saying? Privatized survival, just holding the means by which people get by and just doling that shit out like fucking peanuts. Here's an article from RT. This is from January 20th, 2013. Headline is, World's 100 Richest Earned Enough in 2012 to End Global Poverty 4 Times Over. Think about that shit. 100 people. There's 7 billion people in the world, and the top 100 earned enough money in 1 year to end poverty 4 times over. And still, to this day, these same fucking 100 richest people just take advantage of every single little loophole they can find. They run the game, and they keep just getting more and more power, and it's fucked up. This is from the article. The world's 100 richest people earned a stunning total of $240 billion in 2012. Enough money to end extreme poverty worldwide four times over, Oxfam has revealed, adding that the global economic crisis is further enriching the super-rich. Quote, the richest 1% has increased its income by 60% in the last 20 years, with the financial crisis accelerating rather than slowing the process. While the income of the top 0.01% has seen even greater growth. It's unbelievable. And that's the way the world's worked for a long time. I mean, we used to have kings and shit, and now now they've just gotten crafty. Let us think we have a democracy, and they just fucking run shit like kings living in their Manhattan penthouses. I saw a good movie about, I can't remember what it was called. Damn it. But it basically just revealed the fucked up practices of all these people. I'll look it up and see if I can find it while the next song is playing. By the end of the show, I'll let you know what that movie was called. It was on Netflix. It was a documentary. Fuck, I can't remember what it was called. But yeah, anyway, main bullet point of privatized survival is just the idea that some assholes can justify making survival itself something that they can dole out. The CEO of Nestle, the food company who sells a whole lot of bottled water, was recently quoted as saying that he didn't believe that water was a human right. He believes it's a product, it's a food product to be sold and profited from at all costs. And of course those costs are human fucking lives. It's water. Give people water. Are you human? Do you have a heart? Oh, Jesus. I found the name of that movie, though. It's called Park Avenue, Money, Power, and the American Dream. And you can watch it for free at topdocumentaryfilms.com, topdocumentaryfilms.com, and just search for Park Avenue on there, and it's free to watch. I'll read you the synopsis, though. In America, the rich are getting richer. Isn't that great? Doesn't that mean there's lots more wealth to go around? Or is it good news for the rich, but very bad news for the poor? 740 Park Avenue, Manhattan, is one of the most exclusive addresses in the world, home to some of the richest Americans, the 1% of the 1%. 10 minutes to the north, across the Harlem River, is the other Park Avenue in the South Bronx. Here, unemployment runs at 19%, and half the population need food stamps. The American dream of equal opportunities and hard work says you can be born in the Bronx and end up at 740. But is that dream still true? The film argues the super rich haven't just bought the exclusive address. They've bought the whole system, and they're running it for themselves. So, yeah, watch that, get pissed off, and let's do the news. Here's Maya Angelou with a tribute to Nelson Mandela.
His day is done, is done. The news came on the wings of a wind reluctant to carry its burden. Nelson Mandela's day is done. The news expected and still unwelcome reached us in the United States, and suddenly our world became somber. Our skies were leadened. His day is done. We see you, South African people, standing speechless at the slamming of that final door through which no traveler returns. Our spirits reach out to you, Bantu, Zulu, Xhosa, Boer. We think of you and your son of Africa, your father, your one more wonder of the world. We send our souls to you as you reflect upon your David, armed with a mere stone, facing down the mighty Goliath. Your man of strength, Gideon, emerging triumphant, although born into the brutal embrace of apartheid, scarred by the savage atmosphere of racism, unjustly imprisoned in the bloody maws of South African dungeons. Would the man survive? Could the man survive? His answer strengthened men and women around the world. In the Alamo in San Antonio, Texas, on the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, in Chicago's Loop, in New Orleans' Mardi Gras, in New York City's Times Square. We watched as the hope of Africa sprang through the prison's doors, his stupendous heart intact, his gargantuan will hale and hearty. He had not been crippled by brutes, nor was his passion for the rights of human beings diminished by 27 years of imprisonment. Even here in America, we felt the cool, refreshing breeze of freedom when Nelson Mandela took the seat of presidency in his country, where formerly he was not even allowed to vote. We were enlarged by tears of pride as we saw Nelson Mandela's former prison guards invited courteously by him to watch from the front rows his inauguration. We saw him accept the world's award in Norway with the grace and gratitude of the Solon in ancient Roman courts and the confidence of African chiefs from ancient royal stools. No sun outlasts its sunset, but will rise again and bring the dawn. Yes, Mandela's day is done, yet we, his inheritors, will open the gates wider for reconciliation, and we will respond generously to the cries of blacks and whites, Asian, Hispanics, the poor who live piteously on the floor of our planet. He has offered us understanding. We will not withhold forgiveness, even from those who do not ask. Nelson Mandela's day is done. We confess it in tearful voices, yet we lift our own to say thank you. Thank you, our Gideon. Thank you, our David, our great courageous man. We will not forget you. We will not dishonor you. We will remember and be glad that you lived among us, that you taught us, and that you loved us all.
That was Maya Angelou, tribute poem to Nelson Mandela on behalf of the American people. And let's do some quotes by Nelson Mandela. This is from the USA Today. Nelson Mandela, former president of South Africa and Nobel Peace Prize winner, has died. During his long life, Mandela inspired countless individuals. Here is a collection of quotes that personify his spirit. Difficulties break some men, but make others. No axe is sharp enough to cut the soul of a sinner who keeps on trying, one armed with the hope that he will rise even in the end. It always seems impossible until it's done. If I had my time over, I would do the same again. So would any man who dares call himself a man. I like friends who have independent minds because they tend to make you see problems from all angles. Real leaders must be ready to sacrifice all for the freedom of their people. A fundamental concern for others in our individual community lives would go a long way in making the world a better place we so passionately dreamt of. Everyone can rise above their circumstances and achieve success if they are dedicated to and passionate about what they do. Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. Resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies. Lead from the back and let others believe they are in front. Do not judge me by my successes. Judge me by how many times I fell down and got back up again. I hate race discrimination most intensely and in all its manifestations. I have fought it all during my life. I fight it now and will do so until the end of my days. A good head and a good heart are always a formidable combination. That was Nelson Mandela. Rest in peace. He was a cool dude. He won the Peace Prize back when that shit actually meant something, before they were giving it to Obama just for winning a rigged election. I don't know if the first one was rigged. I mean, he probably would have won anyway. They had the much better propaganda campaign than the Republicans did. But as we've learned over the past few years, it makes no goddamn difference who the president is. So until we can clone Nelson Mandela and get him to lead America, we got to do for ourselves, folks. So stay up, be friends. Here's another song by Batwings for Lab Rats.
Where I lie, back, 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 back,
Yeah, buddy. That was 16 by Batwings for Lab Rats. And that song is a reference to the 16th trump in the tarot deck, which is known as the Tower. 16. The Tower is commonly interpreted as meaning danger, crisis, destruction, and liberation. This is all from Wikipedia, what I'm reading right now. Frequent keywords used by card readers are chaos, sudden change, impact, hard times, crisis, revelation, disruption, realizing the truth, disillusion, crash, burst, uncomfortable experience, downfall, ruin, ego blow, explosive transformation. There are many different meanings attributed to the card. To some, it symbolizes failure, ruin, and catastrophe. To others, the Tower represents the paradigms constructed by the ego, the sum total of all schema that the mind constructs to understand the universe. Epiphanies, transcendental states of consciousness, and kundalini experiences may result. The Tower is struck by lightning when reality does not conform to expectation. So, even though the Tower we've worked so long to build and that stood as a symbol of everything we know to be great and true has just been hit by lightning, and everyone we know is flying out of the top levels of the Tower and falling all around us, dead, mixing with the soil, blood everywhere. We don't know what could actually come of that. The good that all that blood in the soil, the bodies, well, the bodies decomposing, it could end up maybe fertilizing an apple tree someday, and some kid comes along that's starving to death in the ancient ruins of where our tower once stood, and he finds that apple tree, and he eats the apples, and he survives another day, and he goes on to found a nation that solves world poverty, and builds rocket ships that take us to other planets. So you never know where this shit's going. Round and round she goes, build it up, tear it back down. That's the vision, this is the sound. Word up. I hope you guys enjoyed Bat Rat Podcast number 1. We're about out of time for the first portion of the show. So if you're listening live, you can call in. Just look on your screen there. It should have a call-in number, and you can call that number to talk live. And I don't know what the fuck you want to talk about, but if you're out there and listening, we can talk about some things, I guess. I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if anyone is even going to call. This is kind of an experiment. First time I've done the show. I don't even know if I know how to work the goddamn switchboard. So it's going to be an adventure. I hope you've enjoyed Bat Rat Podcast Episode 1, and we'll see you on the after party starting here at 10 o'clock. Give us a call, and we'll talk about some shit. So I'm going to let Buckethead here play us out. What does that mean, play us out? Fuck it, we'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. I also want to make sure I thank Adam Galanter, my good, good buddy, who helped me write and perform the Hey Man, Can I Ask You Something sketch. We're planning to keep doing one of those every week, so keep an eye out for that. And tune in next week to the Bat Rat Podcast. And we'll see you at 10. Maybe you'll call and we'll talk about some wonderful things. Much love. Peace out.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is Zane. If you guys are looking for something groovy to do during the day before the next Batwing show, on Saturday, December 14th. Head on over to Corrales to the Boro Glassworks Gallery. It's located at 4627 B Corrales Road. And it is on the left-hand side across from Kim Ju. There's going to be an exhibition there of fine artworks featuring my work, the work of Brian Burge and Kyle Erickson. There will also be the city curator for Albuquerque. He's a special guest artist. His name's Augustine Romero. It'll be a multimedia art exhibition featuring glass work, glass mosaic, paintings, and mixed media art. The show is titled The Glass Curtain.
Ooh. The Glass Curtain.
And the whole concept is it's each artist's interpretation of the Glass Curtain, which is a parody of the Iron Curtain, and what may or may not be behind the Glass Curtain. Interestingly enough, also about half the work's going to be made out of glass. So,
is anyway. The Glass Curtain television? Is that
the Glass Curtain is a metaphor for the television.
We're all trapped behind the glass curtain of TV.
Yes, more like us and what also the concept of what they hide behind the glass curtain, the media that it doesn't show.
Mm. Yeah, word.
Or what it misrepresents.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, if you have nothing to do on Saturday, head on by. We're going to be there from 12 to 8. There's going to be food, free food, so come on down.
Free food? Where's the gallery again? It's called Boro Glassworks.
It's called Boro Glassworks, 4627 B Corrales Road. There's only one main road in Corrales. You just drive down that road. You'll see Kim Ju, Kim Ju. That's on the right-hand side, and we're directly across the street.
Word up. And that's during the day, so go to that starting at noon, hang out all day, buy some artwork. And then come to the Chill Factory and see Batwings for Lab Rats and American Slang and Bandwidth No Name and a bunch of other groovy bands. And that'll be a good Saturday. Word up.